Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, 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 amen. New Beginnings is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again. We are New Beginnings Ministry here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. And we do thank you for tuning in. Those of you that are listening by Internet, if you're listening by Internet, If you would like to participate, we're an interactive Bible study, and if you'd like to participate, you can call the number 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054, and you can be connected to participate in this blog talk radio interaction, interactive Bible study. Amen. Again, we do thank you for tuning in. If you would like to connect or hear any blog radio that we have completed over the last couple of weeks or couple of years, you can go to our archive and you can pull up anything that we have that we've recorded. Amen. And you would go to Blog Talk Radio, and then you would go to the archive, and you would pull up anything that you're looking for. As you go into the blog, into the blog, you would type in We Can Begin Again and go to New Beginnings Ministries and pull up anything that we have done or any of the speakers that have come on at any time. Amen. And that's the blessing of being able to participate as well as go back and listen to anything that you have heard. We're going to have prayer, and then we're going to move on over into our lesson for this evening. As we go in prayer, we like to continually pray for Pastor Paul Robinson out of Texas, who has asked for prayer, and we're waiting for him to come on with a testimony, amen, of how the Lord has blessed him. Brother Bill Robinson from out of Atlanta, and we would like to pray for him as well. Sister Tanette Dickerson from out of Alabama asked for prayer. She is still on our prayer list. We also have my father-in-law, Stuart Hawthorne, who is has recovered from a nursing home, in the nursing home, and God is constantly blessing him and recovering him day by day. And we're just seeing the Lord just do miraculous things with him. He has taken a couple of steps, which he has been not been able to do, and we're looking forward to those couple of steps being able to walk again. That's the type of God that we serve. Amen. As we move on, if there's anyone that you would like to add to our prayer list, you can go through our chat line and let us know, or you can even come on during our blog, and we will definitely add that name to our prayer list. Amen. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are, the God Almighty, the God who is the Alpha and the Omega, the God who said that I will never leave you nor will I forsake you. We thank you because you are God who has always been the same, and we thank you for that. We know that earthly attitudes and behaviors do change, but you are God who never changes. We thank you for that. Father, we ask that you would bless the names that we have lifted up, even those names that we did not mention. You know who they are, and we ask, Heavenly Father, that you would continue to minister to their needs. Father, we look forward to a testimony from each and every one of them coming to let us know what you have done and how you have taken them from one place into victory, showing that you are able to do anything but fail. We thank you for that. Father, we also ask, Lord, that you would just be with us as we go through this Bible study this evening, that you would just give us your divine presence, that you would give us divine mindset, and that you would just allow clarity and understanding to be placed on this blog radio. We bless all the speakers that come, even those that listen, that hear from time to time, Father. We ask that you bless them accordingly. And, Father, as we continue to move forward, we move forward only by your grace, and we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 This evening, amen, amen. And we have our brother Norman sitting with us. Amen. We are going to dive on into the Word of God. And our scripture this evening we're coming from is Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. Amen. We're going to give you a few minutes to locate that, and then we're going to move on over into our lesson. Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. Amen. As we move over into the scripture, it reads as follows. In Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me. I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth, and it said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed, and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am," or "Here am I, send me." Here am I, send me. The theme of this is, in the session we counter, this is Prophet Isaiah, and listen as he volunteers to serve. In the midst of this spectacular setting, having been cleansed and forgiven, with the details of the Lord's mission known, Isaiah steps forward and says, "Here I am, send me." That's in Isaiah 6:8. His example of readiness to do God's will speaks to God's people in every age. And I want to go back and go over that and look at that. His example of readiness to do God's will to God's people in every age. In every age. And I ask the question, how does that resonate to you as you look at that? How does that resonate to you as you read that scripture, that part of the scripture? His example of readiness to do God's will speaks to God's people in every age. How I see that is, and it says here, as we're talking about Isaiah. Isaiah was ready. His readiness to do God's will. He could have been someone who heard the voice of God and chose to ignore it. He could have been one, like Jonah, who heard the voice of God and ran simply because of the request. But here it is. Isaiah volunteers willingly. And his readiness to do God's will speaks to people in every age, meaning that it does not make a difference what year it's in, even though this is historical, and we are in the 21st century. This speaks to even the 21st century believers. God calling you and I for a particular job. How do you respond? How do I respond? Do we respond with a willingness and a readiness, or do we choose to ignore his request? Any comments?
I think there is a need for us to acknowledge our uncleanliness and our willingness to do God's will. And as in 5 years, as woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I as a man of unclean lips, and I live among the people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. But to be to acknowledge that and allow the Lord to purify you, you're able to spread his gospel, spread his word. But you have to actually acknowledge your uncleanliness and allow yourself to be purified.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Any other comments? Amen. Amen. The writing of Isaiah, or the prophet of Isaiah, it has an important place in the lives of you and I, the believers. And what it does is it speaks about people who read the Bible. And although Isaiah knew the Lord, he is very, very careful because it speaks of divine judgment. Now, that judgment can come from how we see ourselves and how we communicate when we're not talking to the Lord. The language that we use to another person. Do we use profanity when we express ourselves? Do we use name calling? Do we use anger? Do we use hostility? How do we choose to communicate with one another? And here, Isaiah realized that because he had unclean lips, and when I look at unclean lips, I look at it someone. Now, how often do you entertain someone that everything that comes out of their mouth, they say they know the Lord, but yet everything that comes out of their mouth is profane? How often do we communicate with people, other believers that read the Bible, that have a difficult time communicating with others in a clean manner? By your unclean lips, that's what it means to me. Unclean lips, the language that we use. Here Isaiah, at least he recognizes that his lips were unclean. How often do you and I, we communicate and we attempt to advise someone or others, advise others about their language. And they get upset.
Probably quite frequently. It is not only as far as the communication process, the lips, the words, but also by our actions. Are we correcting people in a godly manner, or are we endorsing that behavior of purity by listening and endorsing that behavior when we know that that those actions, those words, are unclean?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be careful to get a good antiseptic soap and wash our face, wash our lips, so that we can, you know, speak the truth and be aware of that. And antiseptic soap is the word from the Bible. And so the cleanest soap you can possibly find. Then you're in a position to understand the truth, and you're in a position to speak the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And to make a difference, to be a beacon of light to others, they find their way to God.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Any other comments? Any other comments? I don't know, for some reason it looked like I lost the studio, and let me see if I can pull it back up, and I hope that I did not lose the communication as we were going through there. And again, as we move forward, we're looking at Isaiah. We're looking at Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. Amen. And here, Isaiah, we have to remember that when we look at the time, we talk about the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, and we have to realize there was a difference between the two. The southern kingdom did as they pleased. The southern kingdom was much corruption, and there was a lot of sin going on during this time. So when we look at Isaiah and he says about his unclean lips, this is something that I would assume that he's used to entertaining. That those who are in his company, they have unclean lips also. I would interpret that. That's the way they communicate. And here, they know the Lord, they read the Bible, but yet their communication is unclean. And the Lord comes to Isaiah. Now here's what I want you to do. I want to do a paradigm shift. I want to do a shift. And I want you to put yourself in Isaiah's place. And I'm not saying that you have unclean lips, but I want you to put yourself in Isaiah's place, knowing that you live in a society, or you live in a culture, or you live in a kingdom where sin is going on and everything is unclean, according to God's eyesight. And your response, and God comes to you. Do you answer the call knowing that we have sinned on a regular basis because of our language? And I'm going to use unclean lips because that's what is stated here. I'm not going to go any further. Unclean lips. Meaning that how we communicate. Do we respond by saying, Lord, here I am. When he calls. Or is there, I would say, trepidation? Is there fear? Because of knowing who God is, knowing that we read the Bible, and knowing that we are believers of the Word of God, and God calls someone like me for a job. And I know that I'm unclean, that I'm not ready, that I'm not prepared. Do I say, Lord, send me? Or do I hide? Or do I hide? Do I hide? Because I don't want to go and share the word of God with the people that I despise. And here, as we move on, and that's why I said divine judgment. Judgment for God, and then there is a divine promise. God promised that he would always be with us. God promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. A divine promise. So it sounds like Isaiah used some brutal language when he communicated. And again, I'm only stretching it. Brutal to me is like every profane word that you can think of is how you communicate. So we move on. I'm just throwing that out there. And again, as I said, that's why the writings of the prophet of Isaiah has an important place in our faith lives. Why? Because even though that this was, we're talking about 200 years ago, sounds like today. It sounds like today. And it, as we continue to explore the word, it says the book of Isaiah covers more than 200 years of history of Judah, Israel's southern kingdom. The first 39 chapters were written between 740 and 700 BCE, when there was a great turmoil among the kingdoms of Judah, Samaria, Syria, and Assyria. And when we look at those kingdoms, Samaria was the capital of Jerusalem. Samaria was the capital of Jerusalem. So we have Samaria, the capital, Syria, and Assyria and Judah. And it goes on, it says, the prophet, he talks about the dire consequences of this turmoil for Judah in the first five chapters. Judah was off the hook. Judah was doing everything under the sun. And so when we go on, looking at the southern kingdom of Judah, in here, which is usually referred to as Jerusalem, its capital and its major city. And in Isaiah, as we move further, in 6, 1 through 4, Isaiah's vision for the God, and the passage focuses on at a time when there was a new king, Uzziah. He was successful in battle. Remember, he was successful in the battle with the Philistines, but he was not successful with leprosy. In fact, that's how he died. And then later on, it goes to say that his son, Jotham, followed him on his throne. And as we move on, and there was, during the year, there was a royal succession. Isaiah had a power, had a powerful vision of the Lord in the temple. And Isaiah saw the Lord in the temple in Jerusalem. And it began with when the prophet stood at the entrance of the temple. And it goes on to say that the place where the king would stand when visiting, the Lord would be a part of an earthly scene. And that earthly scene is the temple of Jerusalem was high and lofty. Over it, Isaiah goes on to mention he did not see the Lord's face, but he only saw the hem of the Lord's robe filled with the temple. Striking the Lord with the fiery angelic figures, and these figures were called the seraphim. Each had six enormous wings. Two of the wings of the seraphim covered their face. Two wings covered their feet. And the last two covered as they flew. And when the seraphim sang a song that is familiar to us. And that song was holy, holy, holy. And they sang, the temple foundation shook and smoke from the 10 incense burners of the great hall of the temple filled the air. Sight, sound, motion, and smell assailed Isaiah. They doesn't give any more details about the responses, but it does say that this vision that Isaiah saw was a life-changing experience. In 6:5, it goes on to talk about woe is me. Woe is me. Woe is me. When you hear that, how does that resonate to you? Because when I hear woe is me, it sounds like a distressful cry. Woe is me. A distressful cry. Any comments?
A cry for pity, or self. What do you call it when you feel sorry for yourself?
For yourself. So almost like a sorrowful cry.
Right.
Amen. Any other comments? Woe is me.
I think it's an awful situation in which a person feels they really had just about as much as they can take. This is above them as a human being, and they're crawling out for God, They don't want to give up. They just recognize the situation they're in. Even going back to 6:1, the king, he remained leprous until he died because he tried to take over the high priest duty. To be leprous, people stayed away from you. You couldn't get any cleaner than having leprosy. And we all have trials and tribulations we're faced with, but to continue to self-examine and to do God's will. And then you also have to examine yourself, clean yourself up, so you're in a position to spread God's word in a meaningful manner. And no matter what challenges you're faced with, you're able to go forward with the help of God. Recognize He's that detergent that's keeping you clean. His hands are holding you up.
Okay. Amen. Amen. Any other comments? Woe is me. And if we're looking at, and we're moving on to verse 5, it says the Jerusalem temple and the temple and the great cathedrals of the world were designed, they were designed to magnify God's grandeur and power and to exaggerate human smallness and weakness. And I want you to look at that as we look at that, what I'm saying, in terms of the Jerusalem, it was great cathedrals of the world. And they were designed to magnify God's grandeur, power, and to exaggerate the human smallness and the weakness, showing that how small and how weak we are compared to God. And by being present in this type of setting, and we look at the setting where we talked about in terms of the hem of the Lord's garment filling the temple, the seraphim singing, the foundation shaking, and the smoke swirling, could make anyone cry out sorrowfully, "Woe is me." Imagine. Imagine. Isaiah looking and seeing all of this. Imagine how weak and small Isaiah felt, to the point where, and it talks about the, you're talking about great cathedrals, we're talking about huge, huge buildings. We're talking about huge, and yet, we're talking about in terms of the hem of his garment filled the temple. Could you imagine how small Isaiah felt seeing that? Could you imagine? And I hate to ask you to stretch your imagination, but just imagine. And all you can think of,
Elder John, I got on kind of late. What chapter are we in? Isaiah what? Excuse
Isaiah
me.
Isaiah 6.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Okay,
Isaiah
very
6,
good. Thank you.
We're on 6:5 at present.
Okay, very good.
So we're
thank
talking
you.
About woe is me.
Okay.
And
thank
Isaiah seeing the hem of God's garment filling the cathedrals, the Jerusalem temple filling it. Now, you know how big a temple is. And when you walk in a temple, you can imagine how spacious it is. And here it is, you're seeing the hem of, listen, I said the hem of God's garment filling the temple. The hem of his garment filling the temple. And what it's saying, Isaiah's writing is saying that we're seeing something so grandeur, seeing something and seeing how small you are or we are compared to that. Now, if you're in a temple with that nothing but space standing there, you're just looking around, and all you see is nothing but space. But then you're talking about the hem of his garment feeling all of that. Imagine the feeling.
very, very profound. Also, you know, looking at Isaiah, who perceived himself to be clean, realized that he was unclean before God, with no hope of measuring up to God's standard of holiness. When Isaiah's lips were touched with a live burning coal, however, he was told that his sins were forgiven. So sometimes in the purification process, there is pain involved, but you have to be clean in order to speak God's words. You're going to have to go to the coal of the Bible and let it touch your lips and be able to speak the truth and to be clean and to be worthy, not just in words, but also in action.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're saying as far as the allowing the Word of God to be able to purify you.
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's that hot coal being placed up against your lips.
Mm-hmm.
Because you imagine if you spoke of the kingdom, living in a kingdom, and everybody is corrupt, sinful, and you consider yourself to be clean, you're not one of them. How would you deal with a situation like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But you have to recognize, you know, you may not be that clean either, but you may still have to get into the Bible, get into God's Word, in order to protect yourself. But you're going to be contaminated just by being in that environment.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, you have to recognize the fact that you are unclean as well. Maybe not as unclean as the others are,
mm-hmm.
but you still are unclean.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way you have to do something about that, you know,
mm-hmm.
as Isaiah placed himself in position, in recognition that before God, he's unclean.
Yeah, because his flesh.
Mm-hmm.
His flesh, everything about flesh is unclean. That's
mm-hmm.
why he says, woe is me. And well, I'm looking at verse 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. This is where he lives.
Mm-hmm.
This is who he is. He's acknowledging who he is, where he stands as a person. And he says, for my eyes have seen the King, the
mm-hmm.
Lord of hosts.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, here he is, a fleshly man, a man of flesh, standing before the Almighty God, in the presence of God. And those that are even around, everything is unclean. When we come into the presence of God, that's why we can't come in our flesh. We have to come from spirit to spirit. Because
mm-hmm.
the word of God says, no flesh
Amen.
Shall dwell in his sight.
Amen.
So that's where we have to be. We have to, when we come into the presence of God, we have to, our minds, everything has to basically stay at the door. And
mm-hmm.
we come into his presence with our spirit.
Mm-hmm.
If you get what I'm saying, this is why
mm-hmm.
Isaiah, this is why I'm looking at this verse, and this is why Isaiah looks at himself and says, my lips are unclean, and everything around him is unclean, because he's
mm-hmm.
came into the presence of purity of God, you know, and
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm just saying where we have to be as a people.
Mm-hmm.
When we go into the presence of God, we have to, when we go into prayer and worship, we have to, you know, some people come in from Saturday night partying and whatnot, and they want to
mm-hmm.
stand. If they're a praise worshiper, they feel like they can praise God. You can't come into the presence of God any old kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
Fleshly stuff have
mm-hmm.
to stay God.
Amen.
You know, we have to come with pure hearts and right spirits.
Amen.
You know, I'm just trying to, I got in
Amen.
Here late, you know, I got on this late, but.
That's okay. You know, that's why, you know, anytime we go before the Lord, you know, we also ask, we have to confess our sins.
Yes.
We ask for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
the sins that we know of and then the sins that we don't know of. So, you know,
but
and
even
again, not look on anything unclean. But here Isaiah, he feared for his life.
But yet God is commissioning him.
I just imagine in terms of Isaiah seeing something so huge. I mean, we're just talking about the hem of his garment. He couldn't stand to look upon the face, just the hem of his garment filled the temple. And Isaiah feared for his life. Because of his unclean lips. Because he was in an unclean environment. Amen. Any more comments?
Unclean.
In Isaiah 6-8, we focus on where Isaiah says, "Send me." Send me. A six-winged seraph flew toward him, carrying a live coal from the altar. This astounding creature touched Isaiah's unclean lips with glowing ember and pronounced the prophet cleansed from sin and free of guilt. This cleansing ceremony was similar to, it was very similar to a mouth purification ceremony. And during that time, there was the Mesopotamian priest practice to prepare themselves for speaking divine words. And in their understanding, the mouth symbolized the whole body. During that time, the mouth symbolized the whole body. The words that came out of our mouth symbolized who we were. Who we were as a people. And that's why they practiced on divine words. Divine words in their understanding. And one of the things I try to look at is when I am communicating, I try to use godly words. How are you? I'm blessed. I'm not just doing okay. I'm not doing good, but I am blessed.
Amen.
Using divine words. And
wow.
See, in Mesopotamia, this is what the priest practiced, using divine words. Not just using carnal words, not just using fleshly words, but using words from that the spirit could relate to. From a spiritual sense. Using divine words, godly words, words that are written in the Bible. And here it says, Isaiah's unclean lips were made clean by this coal.
Amen.
And made worthy to be in the Lord's presence. So we just talked about that. Being made worthy to be in the Lord's presence. Because of his unclean lips, they had to be clean. Because God, remember, God doesn't look on anything that's unclean. So his lips had to be cleansed in order for him to be in the presence of the Lord.
So he can do the job that he was called to do.
Amen. And it goes on, and I talk about Isaiah's life among a people with unclean lips. His life was centered around a community, a culture of unclean lips. So I'd almost think, you know, that because this is what everyone else did, So he did the same thing. That's why he felt his lips were unclean, because he communicated the same way that they did.
Mm-hmm. That's why we have to be careful who we're around. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Too.
We have to be very careful.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be very careful, because we see others using the language or being
mm-hmm.
in the presence of others that use that type of language.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden thinking, and I'm just talking, thinking that in order to communicate with them, we have to use the same language that
mm-hmm.
they use.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
In order to communicate, we have to use the same language.
Mm-hmm.
And I know others like that. I know people like that. Everything
mm-hmm.
that comes out of their mouth is unclean.
Mm-hmm. But because of God,
unhealthy, physically and physically.
Being around them is very unhealthy. I agree. And that's why when I said that this, when I talked about in terms of the importance of Isaiah, when this writing is important to the lives of believers.
Mm-hmm.
It is important, the writing is important about in terms of the lives of believers. Why? Because we are often in environments where people are using unclean language. They may be believers. They may
mm-hmm.
people that say that they know the Lord, but their communication, their lips are unclean.
Mm-hmm.
So do we say, well, you know what, because you go to church, because you come to church every Sunday, because you serve on the board, but yet you choose to use unclean language or brutal
mm-hmm.
language,
mm-hmm.
then you have to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be okay. You're okay. And what God and what here what's happening here is Isaiah saying that it's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying it's not okay. It's not okay to act like the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's also interesting too that the presence he was in altered his prior thinking. He was in he lived in a community of much sin, great sin,
mm-hmm.
but then to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit, just to see his role, that changed the dynamics of everything. He understood he was not clean.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know if I saw anything, if I'm looking, let me take it like this. Now, we're talking about a cathedral. As big as a cathedral is, and in a cathedral, sometimes we feel like, you know, we're almost like
an ant.
Yeah, thank you. An ant in a cathedral. And having the vision of only the hem, and I keep reiterating that, only the hem of the garment filling the cathedral, I would think twice myself. I think I would be fearful.
Mm-hmm. But isn't it so wonderful that even though Isaiah was around, you know, where it talks about his lips, their lips, and he was around the people with such distorted words and thoughts even, and how they acted and whatnot, and he too was unclean and whatnot. Isn't it wonderful to know that God looked at his heart, and that's
mm-hmm.
when his purge came, separating him from the crowd so he can fulfill the commission that he was called to do. Because
mm-hmm.
right where it says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? I must be going ahead of you. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Isaiah saying, then said I, here
mm-hmm.
I am, send me. So God, in that moment, even his heart spoke, that
mm-hmm.
spoke his lip into his lips, and now the commission starts. You know, he's separated from all that trash,
mm-hmm.
all that
Amen.
That he was around, and God
mm-hmm.
took him out, separated him, and now the work begins.
Amen.
And Isaiah does the work he was commissioned to do.
Mm-hmm.
All prior to that, woe is me, being in the presence of all that he was in, and was the presence of God. But yet, I thank God that he looked at his heart.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he was conformed to the life around him, you know, the people talking the way they were talking, but yet,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's like a lot of us too, you know, it's important who you're around, and yeah, you can't conform to the things that are around you, but when you want to do better, when your heart, when you want to do better, God will pull you out.
Mm-hmm.
When your heart wants to do for God, God will pull you out of
mm-hmm.
your very surrounding. Even if you're still around the surroundings, he'll pull your spirit out, and your flesh will conform to your spirit where you're no longer the same.
Amen. Amen.
Now you're purged and you're different.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
To
praise
do the
Lord.
Work of the Lord. You know?
You know, I'm going even further. Even when I look at this, as we're getting closer toward time, as I look at this, I also look at normally when someone asks, well, I'm not going to say someone, we're talking about, you know, obviously we're talking about the Lord, you know, we're
mm-hmm.
talking about our God, you know,
mm-hmm.
who's greater than any name that we can even utter. But
yeah,
we notice this, that it has no mention of when in verse 8 it says, whom shall I send and who will go for us?
Mm-hmm.
Do you wonder, in Isaiah's mind, he's asking, okay, you want me to go? Question, where will your messenger be going? Where are you going to send me?
Mm-hmm.
To whom are you sending me to? And three, when and why am I going? When someone is asked to go somewhere, when someone is asked to complete an assignment, there are questions. You want to know details of the assignment.
Mm-hmm.
Do I just go, or do I not ask any questions at all?
Well, if it's God sending us, we're to ask no questions like that. We shouldn't fear. That's where the trust comes, because he's the one that orders our steps anyway. But he's sending us, and even though we do have those questions, and we are a little apprehensive, but because God himself is sending us,
mm-hmm.
we might be blind as to where we're going, but he just says, trust me. Know that I will lead you in the right path
Amen.
To take, even though we question in our own mind, but we still have to go when he calls. Where are we going? I don't know.
Amen.
You might be sending me to Ohio. What for, Lord? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But there is
mm-hmm.
a prepared
Amen.
Place for a purpose.
Amen. Amen.
A prepared
Amen.
Place for purpose.
So that's the beautiful thing in terms of why and again, and I keep referring back, you know, to the writing of the prophet Isaiah having an important place in the faith of our lives because of
yeah.
how it was written. Isaiah never asked any questions.
Mm, amen.
He just said, send me.
Mm, amen.
He said, send me. He never asked any questions. Where he had to go, why he had to go, whom do you want to send me to? He just responded to his assignment. And as we move in toward the end of this, the question that I leave for you, think about a time when you were in a place that you experienced as holy. Let me say that again. Think about a time when you were in a place that you experienced as holy. This is something to keep in your mind. You can write it down.
Mm-hmm.
Describe what your sense perceived in that setting. How did you feel knowing that you were in a place that you experienced as holy? How did you feel? How did you respond? What were your senses? What were you feeling when you experienced a place as holy? When you felt God's presence, how did you feel? That's the first question.
Jesus.
The second question, when have you received or volunteered for a new calling or commission? In whatever area of your life. Let me say that again. When have you received or volunteered for a new calling or commission in some area of your life? And finally, to what extent did you sense God's hand at work in this? When you had volunteered for a new calling or commission pertaining to your life, to what extent or how did you feel God's hand was at work? So those are some things I just, you know, wanted you to think about as we about ready to close. We do thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio. We'll be here next Wednesday. We do thank you. For those who would like to participate in our interactive Bible study, the call number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. Okay, and you would just call in and we would connect you in. Normally we can see the number and we just automatically just connect you in. As we close, we'd like to say that we love you, but God loves you most. Remember, every day
time. heart is cold.